science, learning, business, community, you. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to return to a thorny subject, one that we've referred to and we've tried to discuss when we did several of the philosophical episodes, but also when we looked at panpsychism and the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics episodes, we referred to a thorny issue that had stumped philosophers and scientists alike for a very, very long time. And we are speaking, of course, about the hard question of consciousness. Now, consciousness, we all think we know what we mean by consciousness, and yet trying to explain what it is and specifically why it is, scientists and neurologists and philosophers have wrestled with this question for a very long time. And we're going to try to unpick some of the arguments and points and counterpoints put forward and really set a foundation, I think, for a more detailed look at consciousness in a future episode. But right now, I just want to get those initial ideas and premises out there and set, as I say, this base level discussion so that we can springboard into something in the future. The hard question of consciousness was coined by philosopher David Chalmers, and it basically asks, why and how do physical processes in the brain give rise to subjective experiences or qualia? While we can map out brain functions responsible for perception and behavior, this question delves into why functions, these functions in particular, are accompanied by an inner personal experience. Now, this is not something new. This question of consciousness, it's intrigued thinkers of any kind of field. It's intrigued thinkers for centuries. And philosophers themselves have long pondered the relationship between the mind and the body, and often the spirit, and why subjective experience arises from physical processes. Now, even as far back, if not even further back, than Plato, Plato introduced the idea of the soul as distinct from the body, viewing it as the true essence of a person. He believed in the existence of an ideal realm of forms where true knowledge and consciousness reside. Aristotle, on the other hand, he saw the soul as a form of the body and inseparable from the physical. He viewed consciousness, therefore, as a natural function of living beings which was rooted in biology. Eastern philosophies had similar points and counterpoints, although they tended to go more down the holistic view of mind, body, and spirit are all one entity, really, rather than separate beings. We then move forward in time to medieval times, and medieval philosophers like Saint Augustine, they explore the nature of the soul and consciousness, emphasizing introspection and the inner experience as the path to understanding God and the self. During the Renaissance and the Enlightenment periods, René Descartes, he famously posited the cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am, which will be discussed in great detail in past episodes when we did the Philosophy 101 episodes here on ThinkWorks. He emphasized the distinction between the mind, which was a thinking substance, and the body, which was a physical substance. And his dualism really set the stage for future debates on consciousness. John Locke, from the same period, he viewed consciousness as a central part of personal identity. He argued that it is the continuity of consciousness that defines the self over time. And if you think that these debates were over and done with during these periods, modern philosophers like Kant, for example, Immanuel Kant, he proposed that consciousness is shaped by the mind's inner structures. And he suggested that our experience of reality is filtered, therefore, through the mental frameworks. coming back to David Chalmers, who coined the phrase "the hard question of consciousness," he basically differentiated the idea and the discussion about consciousness away from so-called easy problems like explaining behavior and perception. He really wanted to try to reframe the debate away from looking for an easy, what he perceived to be an easy approach to consciousness, and really pointing out that we, scientifically speaking, let alone philosophically speaking, we still can't properly define what consciousness is or how it works. Now, these philosophers, they span from ancient, therefore, to modern times, and each discussion point, each debating point, or each frame of reference from those times, they've all contributed to our understanding of consciousness, but they offer diverse perspectives to one of humanity's most enduring mysteries. And these inquiries continue to inspire and challenge us as we seek to unravel these complexities of the mind. So why is it that explaining consciousness is difficult? I think the problem really lies in the deeply subjective nature and the elusive quality of subjective experience. Here are some famous quotes, I think, and thought experiments that illustrate this difficulty. Now, if we look at subjectivity, for example, now subjectivity is, well, if we, consciousness is inherently subjective, and each person's experience is private and inaccessible to others, making it difficult, therefore, to study objectively. Thomas Nagel's What Is It Like to Be a Bat, put forward in 1974, is a thought experiment that questions whether we can ever truly understand the subjective experience of another being. He argues that there is something it is like to be a bat, but this experience is inherently inaccessible to us all, highlighting the subjective nature of consciousness. A famous quote, therefore, is, "An organism has conscious mental states if and only if there is something that it is like to be that organism." And even just trying to unpick that and make sense of these statements, you think, wow, and these are famous, you know, famous philosophers, famous scientists, and just to try to put consciousness and subjective consciousness into words is proving difficult. Now, qualia is, these are the individual instances of subjective experience, like the redness of red or the pain of a headache, which are difficult to quantify or describe in physical terms. Frank Jackson's Mary's Room, published in 1982, is a thought experiment that explores whether knowing all the physical facts about color vision can capture the experience of seeing color. Mary, a scientist, knows everything about color but has never seen it. When she finally experiences color, she learns something new, suggesting that qualia are more than just physical facts. They are experiences that are unique to each individual's experience of that experience. Frank Jackson said, "It seems just obvious that she will learn something about the world and our visual experience of it when she sees red for the first time." And it's that whole idea of every time as an individual we experience something, doesn't matter how many other people have experienced the same thing, you are experiencing it for the first time, and therefore the effect of it is uniquely down to your own experience of the experience. It's mind-blowing when you start to put these thought experiments into practice and you start to explore what they really mean. There's also, I think, within why explaining consciousness is difficult is the idea of a lack of unified theory. So this is, I mean, unlike other scientific phenomena, consciousness lacks a comprehensive theory that explains its nature and origin. And this is where David Chalmers stepped in with his posing the hard question of consciousness. He distinguishes between the easy problems of consciousness, like behavior, and the hard problem of consciousness, which is understanding why and how physical processes give rise to that subjective experience. And he said, "The hard problem of consciousness is the problem of experience. When we think and perceive, there is a whirl of information processing, but there is also a subjective aspect." These thought experiments, just those, I mean, there's hundreds that we could have picked on here, but just those to illustrate three different parts of the hard question about consciousness, they show just how the challenge is faced by philosophers and scientists in explaining consciousness. They underscore the difficulty of bridging the gap, therefore, between objective knowledge and subjective experience. And it's a mystery that is, it, even to this day, continues to captivate and perplex us. When you stop and actually just start to think about, why do I think? I know I think, therefore I am, but why do I think? And that's when you start to stumble over. It's just so difficult to grasp the kind of wispiness of what consciousness is and why it is. So we've referred to a couple of thought experiments, but let's drill into a little bit more detail about some of the inquiries, the philosophical inquiries into the question of consciousness. And you've got, for example, you've got the whole question of dualism versus physicalism. So philosophers like René Descartes proposed dualism, which suggests that the mind and body are separate, as we mentioned. But in contrast, physicalism argues that everything about the mind can be explained by physical processes. Now, René Descartes' mind-body dualism, he argues there that the mind is a non-physical substance distinct from the body, and this dualistic view suggests that consciousness cannot be fully explained by physical processes alone. And that obviously allows the idea of the spirit, the soul, the divine spark that lends to the physical processes that create the idea of thought and consciousness. Gilbert Ryle's Ghost in the Machine, which came out in 1949, critiqued that dualism idea that Descartes put forward by describing it as the ghost in the machine fallacy. He argued that treating the mind as a separate entity from the body is a category mistake, emphasizing a more integrated approach to understanding consciousness. And that, and then we moved right forward a couple of episodes of ThinkWorks ago when we discussed about panpsychism. And that's the idea that consciousness is the fundamental feature of all matter, suggesting that even atoms have a form of consciousness. Galileo's error and Philip Goth's advocacy uses the historical context of Galileo's separation of primary and secondary qualities to argue for panpsychism and the idea that consciousness is a fundamental feature of all matter. This perspective suggests that even the smallest particle possesses a form of consciousness. It's like an amoeba, for example, has the ability to react to its environment. Therefore, there is a kind of response that could be said to be a conscious response if it's trying to avoid a particularly dangerous or move into a particularly beneficial environment. We're not saying that it thinks clearly about that. It's just that it's just a response to the stimuli, which could be said that there must be some form, at some level, a kind of conscious awareness of it, of what's going on around it. And he said, panpsychism, Philip Goff said, panpsychism is the view that consciousness is a fundamental and ubiquitous feature of the physical world. There's also another idea that's been put forward, which is the idea of the integrated information theory, which was proposed by Giulio Tononi. This theory suggests that consciousness responds, or corresponds rather, to the ability of a system to integrate information. Now, his integrated information theory thought experiment, try saying that when you've had a few drinks, this proposes that consciousness corresponds to the capacity of a system to integrate information. He uses the example of a camera and a brain, both of which process information, but only the brain integrates it in such a way that results in consciousness. Again, the subjective experience of viewing the same thing that the camera views, the camera just sees it as a static image, which is the fulfillment of the camera's use, whereas we attach either a thought or an emotion to that image, which could be, oh, that's a beautiful landscape, you know, or it's the colors on this are amazing. We are adding to it through our conscious reaction to what we are seeing or taking a picture of. Also, within the integrated information theory, there's the phi measure, which is spelled PHI. In the IIT theory, the level of consciousness is quantified by a measure called phi, and this represents the degree of integrated information. This thought experiment explores how different systems, therefore, might have varying levels of consciousness based on their ability to integrate information. So these thought experiments, and I'll just give a very quick run through there, and philosophical inquiries provide a rich tapestry of ideas to explore the nature of consciousness, but none of them give us the ultimate answer. It's a bit like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The ultimate answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42. It's just we don't know what the ultimate answer is, even with all these different thought experiments and inquiries. But they do challenge us, therefore, to consider the different perspectives and question, therefore, the fundamental nature of our conscious experience. In conclusion, then, there is no consensus, and this is what we need to understand from a philosophical viewpoint. There is no consensus on a single explanation for consciousness. The debate between the various schools of thought continues to this day, and each offers a different insight into the nature of conscious experience. From a neuroscience viewpoint, it's true to say that neuroscience has made strides in identifying brain regions associated with conscious experience, but it has still yet to explain why these processes result in subjective experience. We all see the same thing, but each of us has a different interpretation of what we are seeing, or a different reaction to what we are seeing. So while we've made progress in understanding the brain's mechanics, this hard question of consciousness, and I think just from this very quick run through, I hope I've explained that, even just from that, it remains an open and fascinating inquiry. It challenges to explore the boundaries of science and philosophy. And hopefully one day, you know, perhaps we will unravel the mystery of why we experience the world in the way that we do. But I wouldn't count on it being any time soon. Now, this was a quick run through of the hard problem of consciousness. It is something that in the future episodes we'll return to discuss in more detail, because in particular now, with the rise of AI and the doomsday scenarios of the possibility of an artificial consciousness developing, I think we need to return to both the panpsychism issue and the hard question of consciousness, and looking at modern AI issues and more of the ethics around AI, all combining into this big soup of what will we do if an AI does develop true consciousness. And how will we define true consciousness? Will we even be aware that it's there? There's all these questions. So we're going to do a much deeper dive at some point. And in fact, just to make the point, I am going through some of the past episodes now, and I'm starting to put a little mark by them to say, right, this is an episode we need to return to and go a little bit of a deeper dive in. And that's, as I say, that they're going to start dropping in here and there over the next 100 episodes, say. We've also got some guests coming to join us, and some American guests as well. I'm just in the middle of sorting all those out. And we've got some other guests from the UK coming to join us to discuss subjects as far and wide as holistic business practices, which is something I'm very keen on, as most of you will know, all the way through to crystals and angels and guidance, spiritual guidance thereof, and everything in between. So we've got a lot to go at, and I'm really looking forward to getting my teeth sank into some of these interviews. It's going to be great fun, and hopefully you'll join us for the ride. As always, this particular episode will have its own forum post, which is darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. There will be a post for this particular episode for you to come and comment in with your own ideas about what consciousness is and what you would like me to discuss when we come back to this theme in that future deep dive episode. What would you like me to consider? Who would you like me to consider? What thought experiments would you like me to explain and also put forward as an idea that maybe could take us in the right direction? Anything that is like that, put it in the forum. I'll respond to every single comment I get. And the beauty of the forum is, guys, it's the posts are there for every single episode I've done. So you can go back in time and make comments on episodes from the past, And I'll still pick them up and still get back to you, because I want this, the whole idea of ThinkWorks is to get people asking questions, really, and debating, not arguing or fighting or being rude, but just debating points and counterpoints in a civilized way, which is what we used to do before the world split into us and them as it currently is. And we need to try, I think, to get back to that. No, we can have different points of view without necessarily creating a hate environment, which is what we currently have in so many areas of modern life. So come and join me. I have no idea what I'll be doing next week, because I only sit down and I take a look at what's interested me that in that particular week. But I'm sure it'll be something fun. I know we've got another Unsolved Mysteries coming up soon. We're going to be looking at the whole question of pyramids, not just the Egyptian pyramids, but pyramids as part of a civilizational tool that was used by so many different cultures around the world, and why they suddenly almost seemed to spring up spontaneously around the world, and what happened to those amazing civilizations that created these constructs. So we're going to look into that, and we've got another couple of great Unsolved Mysteries coming up as well. So lots to go at. In the meantime, everyone, please take care. It's a crazy world out there. But above all else, don't stop asking questions. Do not let the powers that be frighten us from asking questions. That's the key thing. See you all soon. Take care.
Would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.